Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
Good night, Sife. Welcome to the Juan Epstein podcast. Mr. C, part two. Yes, it's finally happening.
We're getting
to that very short. C, you're a surprise still. Oh. Eat your delicious Subway cookies that I'm jealous of.
Okay. Eat fresh.
I know, delicious. By the way, I want to give a big shout out, Sife, before we get this thing started.
Yeah.
To a website.
Okay.
GetBevel.com.
Oh, I see what I thought it was going to be like a website about like web stuff. You're talking about how to get that fresh, fly, clean shave.
Yes, exactly right, Sife. If you're trying to get an amazing shave, you're tired of the razor bumps, you're tired of the nastiness, you're tired of razors not being made for your type of skin, your type of hair. You want to go to GetBevel.com, and if you use the code WANEP, not only will they send you an amazing razor, they will also continue to support the WANEP podcast so we can do amazing things like episode 2 with Mr. C. So make sure you head over to GetBevel.com. It really is an amazing product. Shout out to Nas, who's invested in it, so you know it's official tissue. Sife is the cleanest shaving man I've ever seen, thanks to our friends at Bevel.
Thank you, Bevel.
So GetBevel.com, passcode WANEP. And you know it's an official WANEP because before we get to Mr. C, we brought by a very special guest.
Sife. Yeah.
I'm talking about Billy June.
Billy June!
Billy June, we just want to get an update. The people haven't heard from you in a long time. How are you, Billy June?
Doing good. Doing pretty good.
Okay.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay. Is there anything you want to tell the people? Anything new in your life that you want to reveal?
Not really.
No? No? Nothing you want to share with the people at all whatsoever?
Do you have like a job? Do you have a roommate? Are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that. A little bit of that.
Whoa! Billy June, you're out there fucking?
Yep.
Wow.
Nice. Look at you. Look at you. You have a little bit of different swag.
I got a good job.
You got a job?
I got a good apartment.
Well, you have an apartment where you're not like, there's not a sheet hanging. You have an actual room.
I have a real room now.
You have a real room.
Who's your roommate? You have roommates?
Yeah, friends of friends.
How many people? How many people in your apartment?
3 altogether.
Oh, nice. Not bad.
And who is it that is letting you put your decrepit, disgusting penis inside of them? Who is doing that? Do you want to say anything about her or you want to keep that private?
A nice female.
A nice female. And she's enjoying this.
Yeah.
Is this the one I met? Did I meet her?
You did meet her.
This
you both
week
met her.
Or?
You think he's changing week to week, Sife? He's out there like that.
There was someone else.
No.
There was some other, I feel like maybe some kind of, I want to say immigrant.
Sife, that sounds really racist.
No. Maybe a tourist? Some kind of...
A tourist?
Someone with an accent. No. It was someone with an accent.
No. No accents.
No accents? No. Okay.
Why are you blowing up his spot, making it sound like he's out here two-timing?
Oh, no. It was a while ago.
Oh, you're saying it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
No. This is
a long time ago, but like a while ago. Well, we know what it was a long time ago. It was...
Nothing.
No fucking.
No fucking at all. So, Billy June, how is the fucking going? Is it going well?
It's doing well. Tried the online dating thing.
Yeah.
Really?
Had some really bad experiences, but this is
You don't
one.
Say. You had some bad experiences.
You can, yeah.
You did the online dating thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I really am a fan of this online dating. I
really
want to try it.
No, Sife. Sife, actually, I wanted to say congratulations. You actually just had a baby with your wife.
Yeah. No, she won't allow it.
Oh, but if she did.
Well, or if I was single. I don't know why there's this stigma stigma against it.
What, being married and dating?
No, I'll be against online dating.
What do you mean? I don't think it is. I think it's the opposite. I think there's like no stigma anymore.
No, I think young people have no stigma, but like older people are like, oh, I'm not doing that. That's where creeps are. I mean, the internet used to be where the creeps were.
And who was out there the most?
You.
Exactly.
And now it's nice.
I agree. I thought it was creepy at first, but...
Well, imagine the girls who met you. Yeah. Now, Billy June, a couple of things to tell about Billy Jr. the other day. First of all, number one, Sife. Billy Jr. came out to our party. Sife and I did a little gig that I'll be doing every month in Brooklyn, a place called Baby's All Right. And we played records out there and had a good time. Billy Jr. came out. Mm-hmm. And Billy June was in rare form.
Was he?
No, he wasn't.
He brought his G-Pen. Oh. He was getting loose. He's having a good time. Sife, have you ever hung out with Billy Jr. when he's like stoned or drunk or something?
I've never hung out with Billy Jr., period, but I've been around him, yeah.
Have you ever, Billy Jr. on the way home, we gave him a ride. Me and E. Styles gave Billy Jr. a ride home. When I tell you that this seemingly shy person didn't shut the fuck up for 45 minutes straight.
Yeah.
I mean, all I was drunk and wanting to like leave the window open and just get home. I mean, Billy June, you go topic after topic after topic. It's endless. Well, does the girl like this?
She's cool.
And she's still letting you talk and talk and talk, and she still has you put your penis inside of her afterwards?
Yeah.
That is pretty mage, Billy June.
fucking.
Okay, so there's two other things I have to mention. Number one,
is he here for a reason?
No, he just hadn't come up in a while.
It's just an update.
It's an update.
Okay.
Well, because it's a big deal. The last time people heard from Billy June, he was having terrible sexual disasters. Now he's out here getting it popping.
Okay, you're right.
I think that's worth celebration, Billy June, don't you think?
We went to her Cypher show one night.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to tell you, Billy June, I'm not even kidding. I am going to bust your balls. That's what we do on One Epstein. And
that's fine.
That is your role. And by the way, I hope you know that our people who support us on Patreon, I don't know if you've seen this, but on patreon.com/OneEpPodcast, if you were to go there and contribute money to the One Ep Podcast, one of the rewards I've given, if someone was willing to pay this show $5,000, I volunteered that you would be their pet for a month. Are you aware of that?
No, it was a month. That.
I think a full month, yeah.
I thought it was a week.
I saw that.
A month? That's a lot.
Well, so far, no one's contributed $5,000, but I just want you to know, should you have to do that, would you be willing to do it?
Okay,
we appreciate that. Now, Billy June, two things I want to tell. Number one is, we were talking about an artist the other day, and Billy June said, I know this artist. I met her. He was like, she was kind of a bitch. And I'm not going to say who it was, Billy June, an asshole. So I go, really? I really like her. I think she's actually really cool. And he goes, I don't know. And I was trying to talk to her. I told her that I'd seen her show before, and she didn't even care that I'd seen her show, and she should appreciate someone who's seen her show. And she wasn't nice. And I was like, well, Billy June, maybe she thought that you were awkward and weird and she didn't want to talk to you. And Billy June said, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that was not the case. And I don't know if you can guarantee that's not the case, Billy June.
It wasn't the case.
You're positive.
There's no way that can't be a factor in when people meet you. There's no way.
Yeah, there's no way you're not willing to accept that you might have been awkward and weird and she hated it?
Maybe, but I don't think I was at that moment. I was working and I was in my
professional mind. And you do have a bit more swag these days, Billy June. I like the shirts looking clean. Also, say, but you know what Billy June told me the other day? And this is the last thing I want to talk to Billy June about. Billy June has never. How old are you, Billy June?
27.
Billy June, in 27 years, Sif, has never been on an airplane.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe you're 27, first of all. Second of all, that sounds insane.
Yeah, how have you never been on an airplane?
I've never had the opportunity.
You've had plenty of opportunity. You have a job and you have a phone where you can call airlines and book flights. Or go online. You go online to get puss. You don't go online to fucking book a flight.
Billy June, how did Billy Sr. never take you?
He goes on planes.
So why did he never take you once? You never said, Dad, I want to go on a trip.
He goes on trips and that's it. I just haven't gone on one.
So basically,
that's never gone on a family trip.
So if you want to know who's out there.
What?
My mom is afraid of flying.
Oh, and your mama's boy, and she put it down. She put the fear in you.
No, I'm not afraid of it.
So then, go on a plane.
I need to
go to fucking Miami. Go to fucking Boston. Take a fucking, what do you call it?
Shuttle.
Yeah, take a little shuttle to Boston.
Maybe
Jesus
I will.
Jesus Christ.
By the way, so Sif, I think
I hate you. I hate you.
I think what we figured out from the story, by the way, the fact that he's never flown anywhere and that Billy Sr. flies places by himself. We found
he doesn't
out
fly places.
We
by
found
himself.
Out who's really fucking in this family. It's Billy Sr. Hey, Billy June, I'm being serious. We're happy that you're out there getting yours. Is there anything you want to tell anyone? Where can people reach you on Twitter if they want to send love to Billy Jr.?
Twitter and Instagram?
Yes.
DannyRob88.
DannyRob88.
Because that's my real name.
Yeah, no one knows your real name.
Fuck cares what your real name is.
DannyRob88. DannyNNY. Rob88. Yep. Now you're welcome to hang out as we talk to Mr. C. I know you have a job, so you have to leave. Won't be offended.
I'm going to have to leave, unfortunately.
Right. Well, Billy June, we're glad you came by. And want you
what
to
is
go.
Your job?
I work at a production company.
Yes. Well, doing what?
Lately, I've been doing social media.
And what shows do they work on at this production company?
Love and Hip Hop.
Oh, you work at the same place?
Yeah.
You're acting like you have a new job, Billy.
Well, I can't be on set because I fractured my rib. So I'm doing
How did you fracture
media.
Your rib, Billy June?
I fell during work.
Why? Why? How did you fall during work, Billy June?
I tripped on the sidewalk.
I can't even laugh. I did the same shit.
Hold on. You're talking, yes, I do, but you talk about burying the lead of what's happening today. Billy, how much did you injure yourself? You broke a rib?
Yeah, I fractured it.
You legitimately broke a rib.
I'm in a lot of pain right now.
Tripping on the sidewalk and falling on your stomach. Is that what you're saying?
I landed funny, but yeah.
Did you land on your stomach?
I landed on my elbow, like my elbow crashing.
your own elbow fractured your rib?
I had a lot of stuff on my back. I was like running.
That's even worse. He was running the stuff on his back.
Yeah.
Billy June, look at the, I want you to know, I'm sure it hurt a lot, and I'm sorry, but look at the joy you're probably bringing thousands and
sure
thousands
I am.
Of people.
I'm everyone in the office was laughing at me.
Did they see you do it?
No, no one saw me do it.
And did you just sit there like
there
Peter Griffin and just like...
There was I got up really fast. There was a crowd surrounding me. It was pretty awkward.
Oh my gosh, Billy June, I'm sorry that happened. Hey, listen, continue
Why
fucking...
Why is it funny?
Because it is. I
it's
think
the
it's
way
funny.
It's the
it would
way
only
you
happen
say
to me.
It's their cadence.
It is would Billy, only happen to me.
Boy.
Billy
No,
June.
It happens all the time. To a lot
yeah,
of
but
people.
Why, he wants to know why is it so much better when it happens.
Why is it?
Hey, real quick, before thank you, Billy June. Saif, before we get to Mr. C, one last thing. Yesterday I'm not, don't worry, I'm not going to say the name of your baby. You haven't said the name of your baby, have you?
No.
Okay. So I was telling a friend, a mutual friend of ours, the name of your baby. And for some reason, and I had like a drink or two, but I wasn't drunk. And for some reason, I said blank first name, Ortiz.
What?
And then I kept thinking, I was like, Saif's name is Diaz, not Ortiz. I just randomly replaced your generic Spanish name with another generic
that's
Spanish name.
Yeah, that's racist.
That's racist.
It's similar, though.
It's close. I think it's Diaz, Ortiz, Lopez.
Perez.
Also, I want to give a shout out to our friend Lin-Manuel Miranda, who I want to get up here on the podcast soon. I saw his Alexander Hamilton musical called Hamilton, and it was fucking amazing. And Saif, I believe next week I'm going to see the Larry David show.
Oh, I think he's not in it anymore.
No, he is. He's out of it like June 7th.
Oh, and Jason Alexander's taking over.
Yeah.
I would go see it again to see that.
That could be the interesting part.
Yeah.
Are you free next Tuesday night? I have a hookup to buy the tickets. I could throw you on them. I could throw two more on.
I saw Larry David already, though.
The Larry David version?
Yeah.
Oh, you already saw this, right? You already saw it.
Yeah,
I forgot. Hey, Billy June, we love you. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for part two with Mr. C. C, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, man. Y'all got me laughing, man. Billy June.
Billy, this is you're doing a show in really great company. To have a show with not only Mr. C, but Billy June on the same episode?
Billy June. He needed to change his Instagram to Billy June 88.
I know.
Why he didn't. It's what made him famous.
That's what his thing is. They know him as Billy June.
Yeah.
It doesn't, again, this is the same guy who fell down on his stomach and fractured himself. So C, first of all, I listened to you, your first Saturday night you did.
Yeah, since the first interview we did, now I'm doing... Saturday nights at Radio 103.9 here in New York City. I'm on 7 to midnight, 5 hours of classic hip hop.
Are you still on in the day Saturday?
No.
They all night.
So what they did was, because remember I was on every other hour, so they just said, listen, man, we need a 5 hour block. So
I
got to
tell you, you were playing such good shit. Yo, do they tell you, I noticed that for, later Billy June, I noticed that for Mr. C standards, you played records longer than you normally do.
Well, with 5 hours,
yeah, I guess
why cut people's records off too short? If I had an hour or two to mix in, you know, I would cut some of the records off. But
you're right.
5 hours, just let it ride out.
Yeah, let people hear these tunes.
And especially when you don't get to hear those records in New York City no more on the radio.
Not at all. when are they going to buy a new fucking tower, though? I was struggling in Manhattan.
We are working on that as we speak, as far as getting a better reception. We've been talking to upper management about it, so we're working on that as we speak. But you can get the Radio 103.9 app, iTunes, Google Play is a free app, or you can stream us live, Radio
103.9ny.com. You're probably on TuneIn Radio too.
We on
iHeart. All right. So anyway, see, where do we leave off? Last time.
Well, did you write your reminders of where we left off?
Let's see. Did I actually?
Because you guys had typed it in. Saif, did you?
Saif, did you write it down?
No, I don't write reminders.
He's a douche.
You really are a douche. But why don't we start off by playing? We talked about last time the routine that you said you guys jacked a little bit from. Whose routine was it?
Kane used to perform with Biz Markie. They did a little routine that was similar to Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick.
I found my notes.
Treat him like a prostitute. So this is like the live performance that they used to do together before Kane got popping with the record deal. This is a little piece of it. Can I play it?
Please do.
Okay, here we go. Hold up.
Hold up, lady. Your pins. What? Have you ever seen a girl that you thought was legit when really she was about jack shit? Well, I met one that tried the front on telling me that it was that time of month. Cause we was at the crib ready to get busy. Then all of a sudden, she became dizzy. I said, I thought that we was gonna have some sex. She said, wait a minute so I can change my Kotex.
Now, if y'all remember part one, when I told y'all Kane used to throw a Kotex in the crowd, that was the moment where he threw the Kotex in the crowd.
Hold on, what's going on? I don't want no Big Daddy Junior boy. Never mind, forget it, that's quite all right. No, I'm not knocking boots tonight, cause you're on your menstruation. It will go away, you're on your menstruation, and it only lasts a
few. Now this is when it sounds like Treat Him Like a Prostitute right here.
Another one. I once knew a girl by the name of Carla. She used to use a soda bottle to get hot. I fucked her one time, and when I was done, I cashed the pussy in for a nickel refund.
Yo, dirty ass Kane.
The bitch had a pussy that was awful hairy. I opened it up, took a look down there, saw a big forest fire, and Smokey the Bear.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's not a Kane you really think
that's
of.
That's not
at all.
The Kane that. Exactly.
Kane was actually, by and large, one of like the least crude rappers on record.
Absolutely. Between him and LL, they were hardly ever cursed on records.
Okay, so here are the notes that I wrote down.
And okay, you do have the notes.
Yeah,
okay.
I do. I have the notes. Okay. And obviously, there's more to get to, but here's what was here right away.
Are we going to talk about Little Daddy Shane?
We have
I'm
to.
Just curious. Who the fuck was that?
His brother. That's his real brother.
I know, but who was he? What was his deal? He's just a
rapper. That was his brother.
And he was a dancer.
He rapped, you know, he rapped a little something. A lot of people don't believe that that's Kane's brother because Kane is black, dark skin, and Little Daddy Shane is high yellow, light skin. But, you know, same mother, different fathers. Yeah.
Cypher, you pointing out that high yellow is an old school racial term.
Yeah, I'm old school.
Yeah, no,
what are you going to do?
Okay, first thing I wrote down here was the Slick Rick and Kane beef.
Oh!
Slick Rick and Kane beef.
Mm. Slick Rick and Kane had a beef. First of all, they was best friends at one point.
Really?
Oh, man. If you remember the Teenage Love video, Kane was in the video with Slick Rick. He was the guy that was kind of, Kane was the guy that was kind of taking Slick Rick girl away from him or whatever. So they was like best friends at one point.
Wow.
But we was on tour with Public Enemy. And when we was on tour with Public Enemy, we was the co-headliners, us, Kane and Slick Rick. We was co-headliners, which means that in each city, we would take turns of going on before Public Enemy. So if we was in Detroit, it would be Slick Rick turn to go on before Public Enemy. If we was in Cincinnati, it would be Big Daddy Kane's turn to go on before Public Enemy. So we would take turns every city. So what started to happen was Slick Rick started...
Oh, I think I heard this.
Yeah, he started coming to the shows purposely late. Uh-oh. To the concerts because he wanted to go on after Kane. And we started getting wind of that, like, maybe after the third show. So after we both performed, Kane stepped to Slick Rick on the tour bus. Went up to Rick and was like, yo, man, what's going on, man? You coming late to the show? Like, what's going on with you, man? So Rick literally said... Fuck that, man. I'm Slick Rick the Ruler, man. I don't give a fuck. Whatever.
I thought that was his friend.
But they, you know, when they toured, when we started touring with each other, that's when the friendships kind of started to disperse a little bit because we was co-headlining this tour. And
it just inherently, the egos inherently started.
The egos kicked in. Mm. So, like I said, Kane stepped to Slick Rick. Slick Rick was like, I'm Slick Rick the Ruler. Kane pushes Slick Rick. Hello. Away from him, because they was like face to face. Kane pushes him, and then Slick Rick winds up pulling out like a little .22 gun.
Oh.
Getting ready to shoot Kane. And then like...
Wow, hip-hop history could have changed a lot.
Then like securities for both crews kind of just broke it up, and that's how it was. That's how that...
Okay, and how long does that stay weird?
For a minute. For
like
a few
years?
Years. And then, you know, later on, maybe like mid... I would say... Kane would know better, but like maybe mid to late 90s, I guess they kind of made up or whatever the case is. But they
after Slick Rick got back from jail? Was it not until then?
Because
Slick Rick was gone in the mid-90s.
Right. Slick Rick was gone. So maybe after Slick Rick came home, that's when him and Kane kind of...
And they're good now.
Oh, they're super good. They do shows together. They're super good.
Wow. Pulled the .22.
Yeah. Pulled the gun out on
Kane. All right, hold on. That's the first random.
Now I told you... I think in your notes, you should have the elevator battle.
Yes, the Kane and Slick Rick elevator.
Kane and Slick Rick elevator battle. Now, this is when Kane and Rick was cool before the beef I just explained. So what Kane and Rick would do is, we'll be in a hotel, and Kane and Slick Rick will battle who gets the most broads. And how they would battle on who gets the most broads, each guy would come down from the elevator of the hotel and come out into the lobby. And so let's say Kane will come down first. He'll have on his, you know, bathroom robe, mad jewelry on or whatever. And he's coming out the elevator and walking around in the lobby. Girls are screaming, whatever, whatever.
So this is in the hotel where girls knew they were staying in the hotel.
Right. Everybody knew where we were staying at. So they would battle each other and take trips going up and down the elevator into the lobby and see who gets the biggest reaction from the fans.
Who generally did get the biggest reaction?
Well, sometimes it was Rick, sometimes it was Kane. But what they would do is they would change outfits. Every time they would come off the elevator, they would change outfits.
This is such a ridiculous
fun back then.
They would just keep changing outfits or whatever and try to get the most screams from girls or just from the crowd in the lobby.
How often were there girls just waiting in the lobby?
All the time, man.
Always?
Because also Kane would do a freestyle at the end of our show, and he was like, you know, he would say something like, I can't remember exactly, but he was like, such and such and such and such is an inn. I'm staying at the Holiday Inn. And then he'd be like, peace, y'all. So every show.
Genius.
So he
would. You want to know where it's going down at? I'm staying at the Marriott. You know what I mean? Whatever. Every show we would end it with the name of the hotel we were staying at.
Now, by the way, so.
Well, you got to fuck.
Because that, by the way, because he's just testing it. And right. That means if you're the thirstiest, you're going to go at least check.
Right. And like I told you in part one, like it was just crazy.
Yes.
You have to understand, this is, again, I'm sorry to make the tie between hip-hop and wrestling. Ric Flair used to do these local promos back in the day when they would promote events. They would record, they would go into a studio, and they'd record, like, hey, you're going to record the promo for Baltimore, you're going to record the promo for Delaware, and Ric Flair would legit be like, at Baltimore, I'll be at the Hyatt Regency, room 835.
Oh, my God.
Same shit. He'd probably make up the room. Oh. But he would still do the same shit.
Oh, my God.
And let people, let these chicks know, because then the ones who are really, if they're really about that, they're going to show up. Now, see, in those days, how much hand-me-down poon were you getting there?
It wasn't really hand-me-down poon.
People were people were checking for the DJ, too. Did people know you? Was your name out there yet?
Yeah, but you know, I had to work harder than Kane, Scoop, and Scrap because I was in the background. So with me with the chicks, it was more like, you know, I was always at the concert early doing sound check. So as people are coming in, so I'm seeing a chick that I want. I get a little laminate pass.
Oh, early backstage pass.
Nice. But then what happens is if you get the girl a laminate, you get a backstage pass
she
early.
She might go fuck Kane.
And she's going to fuck somebody else or whatever. Or I would always go to the after parties and DJ all the time. And then that would be another end for me to get some bullshit.
Now, also, Kane did look out and, you know, put your name on a record on the album.
Yeah, but I had to work. I had to work to get the box back then. I had to work.
Well,
man.
I mean, listen, you were. Let's be honest.
It's not work like if you were a nobody.
Yeah, come on. It was work compared to Kane. That's Big Daddy Kane's smooth operator.
It would take longer for me to try to convince a chick to fuck with me as opposed to Kane, Scoop, and Scrap, because that's who everybody saw in the front of the stage.
Scythe? You're not handsome. I know the feeling.
Nasty man. African.
Let me tell you a quick story. I'm not going to name the town or whatever, but when we was in this town, and Scoop, Scrap, like the whole entourage, Big Daddy Kane entourage, except for Kane himself, ran a train on this chick.
Oh, God.
Not going to name the town. And, I mean, everybody was taking turns on this bro.
Ugh. Scythe, you're getting sick just thinking about
it. When it came to my turn, she did not want me to fuck her.
No! No!
She did not.
Everyone else was.
Now, that tells you right there how hard it was for me on the road.
Yo, see, your honesty on this podcast is amazing. Yo, that is hilarious.
She didn't give me no
How many? How many do you think she took?
No, like at least 5 to 7 people.
And she was like, this is where I draw the line. Yeah.
And what? And did your Monday C come out?
I was so mad. I was so fucking tight. I was tight.
That's pretty insulting.
To this day, I don't understand why you didn't let me be a part of that train.
Oh my God, that's fucking hard.
All right, hold on, tell
me. We had on the tour bus, we had to, go from one city to another city. Because we would be on the tour bus and sometimes Kane to take a plane to and fro. So Kane wasn't a part of it. It was the rest
of us.
Just
you nasty animals.
And I was excluded from
the
train.
That's hilarious. Okay, now, Rakim and Kane. Yeah. What is the story with the legendary 18th letter and Big Daddy Kane and their relationship?
Well, they always had their little... They always had their little back and forth, little sublims and records and stuff like that.
What were some of these sublims? Anything we knew? By the way, back then, sublims were off so sublim.
Well, I will say this. I will say the original version of Wrath of Cain, the last verse of the original version of Wrath of Cain was definitely at Rakim. And then at the last minute, Cain decided to take the verse out.
It was pretty direct.
It was direct.
Change the verse, or there's
he changed the change the verse. Okay. Change the verse.
You have that verse.
Why? Why did he decide to take it up?
Because as I told you guys in part one, it was so many people that was in Kane's ear. Remember, we had Ant Live, which was Eric B. Brother road managing for us. So Ant Live and some other cats was whispering about what Rod was saying, and then some people was going to Rod whispering about what Kane was saying, and Kane was like, "Listen, unless the guy say something to me direct, I'm not gonna go at him." And so he took the verse out. But then they were supposed to battle. There was this thing called Rap Mania with Van Gibbs. And they were supposed to battle for like 10 grand or something like that. But then that never happened either.
Why was there a battle to be set up in the first place? Yeah. Did people know there was some shit going on?
Well, it was a thing where everybody just wanted to see it because they was the two hottest rappers at that time.
Okay, so it wasn't that people knew. There was some shit between them. It was kind of just
It was never really no shit between them. But it was just so many people between the streets and the people that was down with both entourages that was just talking shit that it just everybody wanted to see them two go at it. And then both of them being 5 percenters, I think that had a lot to do with it as well. But just mainly, just because of the streets. I think it's even like the thing with Big and Pac. Even though at one point they really did kind of had a dislike for each other, but it kind of started off from the streets really wanting Big and Pac thing to kind of happen. And then the artists themselves added fuel to the fire.
All right. Well, and by the way, Saif, at some point, we should probably get to Biggie.
Yeah.
Do you have LL written down?
Yes. Okay. So I have Kane and LL Cool J written down.
So what happened with Kane and LL Cool J was... I forget what album it was with LL Cool J, but LL Cool J did a skit on one of his albums. It might have been the Bad album. He did a skit where he said the A, the B, the C, the D, the E, the F, the G, the E. He went through the whole alphabet doing the same rhyme pattern that Kane used to rap. And at the end of Z, he would be like, that's bullshit to me.
Mm-hmm.
So Kane looked at it like he's trying to diss him. Kane... went up to L. We actually did some shows together, and then Kane went up to L about it, and L said, "No, I'm not dissing you. I'm dissing cats that sound like you." So that was the brief thing with Kane and L.
What?
So, do you want to give him a fuck out of here?
that was the brief.
Out of here.
That was the brief.
This is cats that
But they was always. But Kane and L was always cool with each other. So it. That was a surprise to Kane.
Do you have that on there? Skit. Do you have that on there? No.
Nah, I don't. It was a skit. I don't have it. But he went through the alphabet, A to B to C to D to E.
I know. I remember it.
Next to Y to Z, that's bullshit to me.
I just loved how back then, so right now I always complain to hip-hop because disses are so sublim. But back in the day, it was either incredibly sublim on an even more sublim level or just blatantly direct.
Right.
One way or the other. But I love some of the like Marley was telling us too about ones. Oh, like so and so was always, and then he was describing what the diss was, and I was like, "How did you even know that was a diss?" So we really kind of concluded your Kane run for the most part, except for those stories,
right?
What was the period then? Take us, your career-wise, what happened between Kane and, I guess, the Biggie Hot 97 era?
Well, the Kane, you know, of course, the fall-off, quote-unquote fall-off phase started to happen.
We talked about that after the Teddy Riley kind of vibe. It just wasn't moving the same way.
You know, say like 1990, 91, that's when kind of everything kind of started slowing up. Or whatever the case is. And then on top of it, things started slowing up. For some reason, Kane didn't want to travel as much as we did in the early part of our career, which I really never really understood why. But
did he leave money on the table?
Oh, yeah. He would turn down shows. You know, in the early 90s, he was like turning down shows. So when
biggest
he was
mistake rappers, man.
When he was turning down shows, it was fucking up me and Scoob and Scrap's money. Because that's the only way we was making money. And so, you know, things started to slow up, and then I met Big through his first DJ, 50 Grand. 50 Grand was from around my way.
Good guy, 50 Grand.
Yeah, from around my way in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, and he's like, yo, I know this kid, man, and Biggie Smalls.
And what year are we talking about?
This is 91.
Okay. Wow, that early.
And he's like, yo, I got this kid, Biggie Smalls from Fulton Street, man, he's dope, or whatever, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, well, I'm ready to go on tour with Kane. This was like one of our last tours we did together. It was actually the Taste of Chocolate tour. And I was like, yo, if I told 50 Grand I'm coming back September 24th, whatever day I told him I was coming back, the motherfucker came to my house that night that I came back from tour.
Literally.
With the Biggie tape.
Okay. And what was on that tape?
It was the demo, the famous demo. The famous...
I have a hunch that you have that on your computer. I think you should give us a little,
The famous Biggie demo.
So this is what 50 Grand brought to your house.
Right. It was, let's see.
Yo, we got DJ 50 Grand, Big D, RC, Amp Money, and the Undisputed B.I.G., that's me. A whole lot of... Yo, we got DJ 50 Grand...
Play the dirty version. I got to play the dirty version.
Amp Money, and the Undisputed B.I.G., that's me. A whole lot of niggas want Big to make a demo tape, especially that... Some ass nigga R. This going out to
who's
you.
Who's R?
Yeah, we'll get to Mr. Okay. R.
Nasty loop.
That was 50 Grand DJing live.
Oh, really? Just bring
the... Yeah.
Makes me sick when you pick the wick rap rhyme, G. You keep it to pump and it's tic-tac time, see. The B.I.G. moves swifter than a ninja. Even a stick up something back to venture.
So that was the Biggie demo,
and
this was recorded at 50 Grand's house.
And you know, in hearing that, he sounds pretty good. I don't know that I would have heard what you heard though. Well, what did you?
Well, here's the thing that caught my attention when I heard this demo was the rhymes was ill. If you really listen to what he's saying, for him to be a young kid, maybe 18, 19 years old at the time, number one,
not even by the way, I don't think he died at 24.
Nah, he was about.
Think about it. If he died. Yeah, 91. Yeah, okay, yeah, it's 18.
Yeah.
18.
Yeah. That's number one. Number two, he's rhyming over the sample that me and Kane used for Ain't No Half-Steppin'.
Yes, of course.
So to me, listening to it, it was like, this is the second coming of Kane all over again. He don't sound like Kane, but just to, you know, just where Brooklyn and where New York City was at in hip-hop at that time. You got to remember, in the mid-90s, you know, we had our Brand Nubians, we had our Pete Rock and CL Smooth, we had our Gang Stars, but the West Coast was fucking kicking our ass at that time. So to hear this, I'm like, this is what we need right now. So it was instant when I first heard it. I was like, we got to do something.
Blind Alley.
Blind Alley, the original sample to the Ain't No Half Steppin'. So we recreated the demo. We sent it to Maddie C from the Source Magazine.
You recreated that?
We redid it at my house.
Do you have that one too?
Just made it sound cleaner.
Do you have that one too?
I don't have that one.
Okay. Why don't you have that one?
I have it, but I don't have it in my laptop.
Okay.
Same rhymes. Same. What was cleaner? Your scratch it? The beat looping?
Just overall. Just everything. Recording? Just the recording was cleaner because I didn't want to send it to Maddie not being, you know, sounding like
And you
this.
Had a relationship with Maddie C. You guys were cool.
I had a relationship with him, but it... don't get it fucked up. Like, when I sent him the demo, it was still like he had to listen to it and he had to judge it on his own merit. It wasn't like, yo, look out for me and put this song in unsigned.
You just knew him and knew it was the way to
and
go.
And I was like, yo, I'm going to send this to you. And, you know, and I mailed it to him. And then next year, you know, he was like, we're gonna put in the unsigned hype. Because at that time, unsigned hype with The Source Magazine, if your song or your demo gets featured, then you got an opportunity to get a record deal. So once we got featured, once Biggie got featured in The Source, then they came to me about doing a record deal with Relativity Records, which was the label that Common Sense was first on.
Of course,
on.
Common and the Beatnuts.
Right,
and
exactly.
Chia Lee.
Exactly.
And
there you
Fat
go.
Joe.
There you go.
So at this point, though, do you have any relationship on paper with Biggie?
No.
God, you're an idiot.
Not at that time.
Oh, you did eventually.
Then I did eventually.
Oh,
I
had we'll get to that part. Okay. Because I want to know what that
was. Who's R?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So at the beginning of the demo, Biggie said, especially that bum-ass nigga R. Mr. R was a DJ from Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. So Mr. R basically was doubting Big, like, yeah, you ain't nice on the mic. You ain't going to never do no demo, whatever. So that's why Big said, this demo goes out to this bum-ass
It was a joke diss.
It was a joke.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, okay.
Was 50 grand shouted on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's right in the beginning, right?
But I don't believe. I hate when people shout out.
Money. Yo,
I hate when people shout out haters more than supporters. I hate
money.
That.
Yo, we got DJ 50 grand.
First shout out.
Right,
first shout out.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, as we're about to start getting into this Biggie portion, which I'm very excited about and very into, I want to give a shout out, Syfe. To guess who?
I'm gonna assume something with like a little brush and some cream on the face that sounds nasty, and then like a nice smooth shave.
Yes, a razor that will give you a smoother shave than all. I'll give you one. Take a guess at the name.
Bevel.
That's right. And getbevel.com. If you want to have a face as smooth.
Hold on. I think you need to do it again because C was.
C, did you disrespect and drink your drink?
Drinking
that?
His soda.
In the middle of my getbevel.com?
I'm sorry. Get money. Go ahead.
Hey, you could disrespect this podcast at any moment, except. But when we're talking about getbevel.com. Okay.
If you want to have a shave as smooth as Syfe's 9-year-old daughter's bottom, this is the place. Is that how old she is, Syfe? 9 days? 10?
What's today?
Today's Tuesday.
14 days old.
Congratulations, man.
That's amazing.
Thanks, man.
So if you want to have if you want to be smooth like a 14-year-old child ass.
Get bevel.com.
Use the code WANEP. It's an amazing razor. It will change the way you shave. It'll change the way you look. Look at that, Mr. C's ad libs. No, but it'll really change the way you look. And not only that, we appreciate it because you get a great shave and you support the WANEP podcast. And want to show a lot of love to Bevel for the love they've been showing the podcast. We can do this. So go to getbevel.com. The password is WANEP. So the demo happens. You send it to Maddie C. Maddie C says, yes, we're going to put it in The Source.
Right.
What's next?
And then Relativity came to me about doing a record deal and putting, you know, Biggs.
Syfe, who's the person from Relativity?
What?
Who's the person from Relativity?
Back then?
Yeah.
91?
Yeah.
A&R?
Yeah. And the A&R was? Who was the label?
I don't even know that.
Who ran Relativity, you know?
The same guy who now runs Koch. Green.
Ed Koch?
No.
Oh. Alan Greenblatt?
Yeah.
Is it Greenblatt?
That's Relativity.
Yeah, they came to me.
What's his name was there at the time? Steve LaBelle?
Oh, LaBelle was over there too?
They came at me with a...
Oh, sorry. Sorry to keep cutting you off.
That's okay.
The dude who left to go to Suave House. Remember the promo dude? He was from New York. Black dude. And he left to go to Suave House and ran Suave House for a while. He was the promo dude at Relativity. You know him. You definitely know him. Rich? Or big... fuck, I can't remember.
So get your old school promo dude game up.
I know.
Okay, so they came with a deal that was whack?
It was a horrible deal, so I didn't have Big sign it or whatever. And then after that, I got with my lawyer, and then me and Big did a production deal together. And then...
So that's when you got the paperwork?
Right. So, I got the paperwork for me and Big to do a production deal.
What did that look like? What did a production deal look like?
Well, he was just signing my production company or whatever the case is. So, and then after that, Puff calls Maddie and was like, you know, I heard you got this unsigned hype who's like the hottest cat.
Maddie, where was he hot, though?
Well,
because of unsigned hype?
Right, because of the unsigned hype. Because of,
what have people heard, though?
nobody heard anything. Only Maddie heard it.
Yeah, Unsigned Hype was crazy because all that Maddie C was doing was it was like his opinion. Just right. being like, just yo, this opinion. Is hot.
Right, right.
But people checked it. It was only right. one thing every month. So
right, right.
when you looked, I remember everyone I right, saw in there. Right. Not everyone, but a lot of them.
Exactly. So then Diddy, Puff Daddy, went to Maddie, and Maddie was like, yo, the hottest guy I got is this guy, you know, Notorious Biggie Small than a Hitman, 50 grand. And the first thing.
Oh, yeah, 50 grand was on the demo, on the source. Yeah. Yep.
So Puff asked him, well, how does he look? And Maddie was like, he ain't the best looking guy in the world, but he can rap his ass off. And then Diddy was like, well, how do I get in touch with him? He was like, you got to contact Mr. C.
Back Did you then, know Diddy?
Of course.
Okay. From the parties?
Yeah, from the parties and all that type of stuff. By the way, him dancing. Remember, he used to be a dancer.
Oh, yeah, that too.
You know,
he used to be a dancer. Did he ever have beef with Scoob and Scrap?
No.
Was there ever a Puff a Puff Daddy Scoob and Scrap dance off?
No, not that I know of.
By the way, one of the most interesting things I found about the Flex One app was when he talked about how Flex talked about how he was like jealous of Diddy in the club. Like Diddy had the clubs on Smash.
Oh, yeah, Diddy was
and Flex was trying to get in. And I didn't realize that Diddy like predated Flex's hotness in the club.
Absolutely. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you knew him from all those things. So he reaches out.
That's when we had Sky Pages, the 1-800 Sky Pages.
Of course.
And Diddy was still A&R at Uptown MCA Records. And he hit me up. He's like, yo, I want to, you know, talk to you about this guy you got, Biggie or whatever, Notorious Biggie Smalls or what have you. So then I told, you know, Puff that, you know, I got a production deal with him, you know, and what have you. So Puff immediately from the rip was like, yo, man, I can't do a production deal, man, you know. If I'm interested, it's gonna have to be straight up or none at all.
What? Mm-hmm. So from jump, he's like, if I do this, I'm buying you out of it.
Well, no, not buying me out of it. He was just like, if I do it, it's gotta be. I gotta sign him straight up as an artist without a production deal or whatever the case is.
So, but isn't that cutting you out?
Not necessarily, because I still was, you know, associate executive producer for the album and got my points off of that. But I had to make that decision: did I want to do that, or did I want to hold on to Big for my production company?
So why did you decide that Puff was the way to go? Were there other suitors?
Well, that wasn't the only label interested in Big.
You know,
Jive Records was interested, Def Jam was interested, but nobody was really coming at me the way that Puff was coming at me. And then I had to make the decision if I wanted to, you know, keep Big to myself or to, you know, let him be as an artist. So,
and you thought Puffy was so passionate about it that it was worth the trade off of giving up the production.
Yeah, and as you know, and then with the success he had at Uptown, you know, with Mary and Jodeci and Heavy D and Father MC and those type of artists, I was like, you know, this person, he can take Big to the next level. It was no offense to Def Jam or Jive, but they just wasn't coming at me as seriously as Puff was.
So was it put into a contract that you'll give up the production but you'll maintain the points and
no credit? I just went to my lawyer and it was like, you know, we're gonna
dissolve it or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was like
you know, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, I'm good. I'll be all right. I trust Puff. I trust him. And I never had no business dealings with Puff, but I felt like I was gonna be in good hands.
And he totally went through with what he said he would.
Right. You know,
when the album eventually
came
out.
But he still didn't know if he wanted to sign Big. He just said, listen, if I do want to sign him, I can't do a production deal.
Okay.
And you have to remember, Puff was A&R of Uptown. This is before Bad Boy. So the reason he couldn't do a production deal is because
his company didn't want to?
Well, he's with Andre Harrell, and right. then Andre Harrell was, it was really more like Andre Harrell didn't want to do the production deal, and Andre Harrell ran Uptown. So, you know. Then I took Big to meet Puff, went to the office. Puff asked Big to kick a rhyme, Acapulco.
What did he kick? Do you remember what he kicked?
I don't remember the rhyme.
You remember the rhyme.
I don't remember. I swear to God, I don't. But I remember that after Big kicked that rhyme, Puff was like, yo, it was the wintertime when we met Puff. And he was like, I could have a record out on you by the summer. Would you be cool with that? And Big was like, yo, just talk to C, man. Whatever C want to do, we'll do it.
So at this point, up until Puff completely ends up taking control, did Biggie see you as his manager? See you as kind of
I don't know if manager would be the word for it. I would just, I guess.
Mentor?
Mentor.
You're probably handling some managerial duties, but you technically weren't the manager.
Right, I technically wasn't the manager, but I was, like,
Did he have another manager also?
No, absolutely not.
So it was just you and 50
just
Grand.
Me, it was just me, Big, and 50.
Who was around at this time? Like from the Junior Mafia, like D-Rock,
D-Rock was locked up.
D-Rock was locked up.
You know, no, D-Rock was out, and he got locked up a little bit later on. So D-Rock was around.
Money L.
No.
Money L. According to the movie Notorious, Lil C's at this point was an infant.
Lil C's was in the street.
D-Rock was around, and then there was this dude, if y'all remember Big mentioning a guy named O.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, he passed away,
that
right?
was like Big's best friend.
He talked about him on Miss You.
On Miss You, yeah.
But every...
Hold on.
Yeah. Dedicating this to my nigga O. We miss you, nigga. Going out to all of your niggas that died in struggle.
Yo, every time I was with C's and them, when Big was alive.
Word to O. Yeah.
And then when Big died, it became Word to Big.
Word to Big, yeah.
Everything was Word to O. I swear, my nigga, Word to O.
That was like Big, you know, C's and O, those were Big's like best friends. O was from either East New York or Brownsville.
Same shit.
And O got murdered, you know, like right before Big took off.
And man, and Miss You's a whole.
I said O and D Rock. O and D Rock was like Big's closest friends.
Okay. And then Miss You doesn't come out till 97.
Right.
And he passed away early, like 92.
He passed away before
Party, you know, and Bullshit?
He passed away, I want to say, right before the recording of Ready to Die. I think O passed away. Right before the recording of when we started recording Ready to Die.
See, do you ever stop and really think about the fact that you were in, like, you are the reason that he was in Puff's office? Not only that you were in the room, but you were the reason he was in the room.
To be honest with you, Rosenberg, I don't really think about it like that. I really don't. I don't think about, yo, I discovered the greatest rapper of all time. I don't really think about it like that. But I do think about that what everybody thinks of Big, I saw it early in the game, that this guy can be the one. But I was thinking more of Brooklyn, New York, that type
hardcore
of thing.
Hardcore kind of like.
Right, right. I was thinking, you know, that he could be the next big thing from New York. I wasn't thinking globally.
You didn't think that, like, my mom would know who he is? Like,
no, I didn't think like that.
Everyone.
I just thought he could be the next hip-hop star
locally. Like Kane. The feeling you got with Kane, you're from Brooklyn, but you
hot
blow
Brooklyn.
Up and you right. start doing all these shows around the country. Now rap is getting a little more business savvy,
right.
And Big could be the next one. You didn't know he was going to be the next icon.
No, I didn't think like that. But I did think from early on that this guy, he got it instantly.
Because like when I heard stories, I forget where I heard the story, but like... James Taylor, I think, was writing. James Taylor, I think, ended up writing with John Lennon when the Beatles first came to the U.S. to work.
Right.
James Taylor, I think, already had his deal with, Sony or whoever the fuck he was on. And he talked about, like, writing with John Lennon.
Right.
And I'm like, how can you be like a human being and be like, yeah, I was with John Lennon. We were writing together and blah, blah. Like, that's just so insane. And this is the exact same to me.
Yeah,
like, to be a part of that is.
It is like that because you're not, even when everything took off with Big, I've never looked at it like he's this big, you know. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I've been through it already with Kane, the success and the height of the success. So that when Big had his success, it really... I didn't look at it like that. I just looked at it.
There was no one else.
That's like that. That's my man, and so on and so forth.
No one else.
And let me just say this, because you know, Rosenberg mentioned something about me getting cut out. I never really got cut out with the situation with Puff. I was an associate executive producer with the Ready to Die album. I was a part of the recording process, and even leading up to Biggie's death, like Biggie always hit me up, called me, contacted me for advice on stuff that he was working on and doing. One of the last conversations me and Big had was him getting ready to renegotiate his deal with Bad Boy and the direction that he should go with it. So I've always remained in contact with Big and given him my advice and opinion on his career, you know?
And you were satisfied with how you ended up how you did monetarily on Ready to Die also.
Absolutely. Like, I still get paid for Ready to Die.
Nicely.
Born Again.
Not Life After Death?
No, not Life After Death. Ready to Die and Born Again. Why they brung me back in for Born Again.
Why were you out on Life After Death?
Because the deal was only one album. The associate executive producer deal was only for the first album. But then when they was putting together everything for Born Again, then that's when I started getting the calls back about, yo, we need you to...
We need this one, we need the...
Right, right.
You have everything.
Do you got any old acapellas?
Do you have the
acapellas?
Studio debt of this?
Right, right.
Yeah, Mr. Right. C.
Yeah, Mr. C, those. Everything's organized right. Chronologically.
Right. Born Again and Notorious soundtrack. They hit me, was like, listen, we need your help.
So, go ahead, sir.
Was Big went to jail ever?
No, Big and D-Rock got locked up over a gun.
Oh, and D-Rock took the...
And took the gun charge. And D-Rock told the police.
But Big was in jail for a month, maybe? Or?
I know when him and D-Rock got locked up, it was only, you know, for a brief time, maybe a day or two or something like that. But D-Rock took the gun charge, and that's when D-Rock, you know, went away.
How what was Biggie like as a kid at 18, 19 years old?
Oh, man, he was a funny dude, man.
That's what everyone, like, generally, that's the story.
Very, very funny. He was funny, but he was also quiet. Like, very, he would only show his humor to, you know, people that was that he was close with. So, you know, it was like the contrast of him being very shy, but then also being funny, but only around people that he was close with. So it was kind of a weird personality that he had. So, like, when I told you earlier that we met with Puff and he was like, yo, just talk to C. That's that shyness. That's that, I don't really fuck with you, my nigga. Like, you know, you're going to have to talk to this man for me or whatever the case is.
Okay, so the records start happening. Dolly My Baby, Mary remix.
Right.
Party and Bullshit.
Right.
All these records. Nena Cherry. Like, all these random records happen. So that's how it starts beginning. I'm guessing Puff is finding records and putting them. Is that like...
No, it was Big doing that. Big, you know, like, you know, some of the records, like, you know, Puff had made happen, like the Nina Cherry Buddy X record, The Real Love and all of that. But then, you know, he would do a record with an artist like Crustify Dibs, or he would do a record with Red Hot Love Tone, and, you know, or M.O.P. And he was jumping on these records without Big's permission. Without Puff's permission. And he was going in the studio getting cash money to jump on a verse. So he would get like $2,500.
And these people wanted him just because they knew he was hot?
Because,
like,
he was hot.
He was getting,
like,
hot.
Once the Real Love dropped.
Was that, okay, so what, by the way, this is very important for me. Mm-hmm. What was absolutely first on Wax? First. Is it Real Love?
I'm going to say Real Love and then Buddy X. I'm going to say Real Love, then Buddy X.
And then Dolly My Baby after that?
Dolly My Baby might be...
No, before that.
No, it might be Real Love first, then Dolly My Baby, then...
Oh,
then.
I actually know this. I know something here. Because my boy, who was a producer, said he was in the session with Jesse West and them and all that shit, right? And... He saw when Big did...
Which is the Dolly My Baby record.
Dolly My Baby record. And he was working on another record in another studio, and he used the top billing. Dun, 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 dun. And he said Puff heard that and was like, oh, let me use that for...
Hey, I love it when you call me Big Pop, but the show stop, but the rhyme drop, but Super Cat pass the clock.
I just played that the other day at Rosenberg's party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Felt right.
Yeah. That record, I remember I used to get such chills when I would play that because no one, unless you were a head, you didn't know, everyone knew, I love it when you call me Big Papa, of course. So when I started playing that record after Big Papa came out, it's so great.
Crazy thing about that record, there was another guy on the record.
Oh, I love the edit is crazy.
There's another guy on the record.
Insane. We play
this is before Pro Tools. Like, someone cut a tape, right?
Bling, bling, who's that? Drinking brand new rosy. Pop like a stogie. There is no way you can see me like Stevie. Wonder how I'm living deep. Oh, I'm living lovely. It's a bad boy day. 93, we coming through.
There's another dude that was down with Jesse West from Third Eye. Cut him off.
And you think I'm crazy? Super cat. Dally, 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 my baby. You're crazy. Nah.
He starts coming in for his
voice. That guy, who's that guy?
You're crazy. Nah. Supercat, dally dally dally, my baby.
Nah, nah. Yeah, nah, nah. Your verse.
I think Jesse West and the other guy from Third Eye fell out, and that's why they took him. Either that or Puff wanted it shortened.
So
no, I left. They had a fight.
Yeah,
I heard they had a fight.
Was that Third Eye in the group home? Which always was very confusing to me.
No,
because Ease Up was by Third Eye in the group home.
Right.
And I was like, who is the group home? Because it wasn't. It wasn't group home. Anyways, so as this time is going on, are Puff and Big developing a real rapport yet, or is it mostly just business?
They're developing a rapport, but like Puff was kind of, you know, upset with Big jumping on all these records.
I heard there was, C's used to tell me that Big would jump on mad records and take the money. And do the verse, and he'd be like, hey, yo, tell Puff don't clear this.
No.
He's like, yo, when they called to try to clear this, don't. Some of them he wanted to be cleared, whether it would or not, that's Puff's decision. But there was some that he'd be like, yo, don't clear this.
Oh,
he says, I got a brown bag, and I'm out of here.
So Puff didn't love that. But my question is, do they have a friendship at this point, or is it just...
No, it was they grew to become very close friends, but early on it was more like business friendship, you know? Like, Puff didn't want Big to go down south and hustle, but Big was traveling back and forth down south, hustling, coming back up, doing a record, going back, hustling. So,
but was Big hustling a lot? Like, was it real money?
I don't think it was real money.
But yeah, you were, I mean, not that you were intimately involved with that part.
Right, right.
But it's not like he was loaded.
I don't think it was, maybe to Big it was. I don't think it was real money. But at the same time, street money. But, you know, he had a baby on the way, so he was like just trying to get it where he can get it. You know, between doing all these records and then hustling, he was just trying to get in where he fit in, because it was like, Puff would always be like, yo, just wait a minute. Just hold on. And Big was like, fuck, hold on.
I gotta eat.
So how big did Party and Bullshit get?
Oh, that was a big record, my G. That was a fucking monster record.
That's when I was like really...
That record was so huge that, you know, if y'all remember the fight scene in the record.
Yeah.
And we party and bullshit and bitches in the back, like kid got choked out, blows were thrown, and a fucking fight broke out.
Like, people used to, at this part in the club, people would really be acting like they fighting in the club.
Oh, just for fun.
What?
Can we just all get along?
People would really fake a fight at that part. In the club, when this record was at its peak.
So at this point, are you starting to think like, oh shit, I'm right? This guy's about to go?
Yeah, it was like, yeah, this is for real, for real.
Are you in all the sessions?
I'm in every session. Like, early on, every session.
But you set up the sessions, or they would call, who called you to go?
Well, I would communicate with Big, and Big would tell me, okay, we having a session at this
day.
But Diddy was setting up the sessions.
But you were one of the, you're the first guy Big calls.
Right.
For a session.
Yeah.
Like, yo, we in the studio tonight.
And me and, of course, Easy Mo B. Because Easy Mo B produced a lot of the records.
So you're in the first three phone calls. Yo, we got a session tonight.
Yes.
Damn, that's crazy.
What number call were you, Seth?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
Me neither. High school.
Yeah, well, me too. I wasn't doing anything.
In high school?
And then, you know, I did the scratches on a lot of records. Like this right here.
Woo!
Amazing.
I'm a bad.
No.
I did this, actually. He's lying right now. I did this. So how'd you do that? You turned off the turntable?
I think when I met C, I asked him that.
So what was that? Is that you turned the knob?
Yeah, it's like you have the turntable, and each time you move the record forward, the first time is normal. So as I'm up bad, that's normal. Second time, you turn off the on and off switch.
Yep.
Bad, and then the third time, you press the stop button on the turntable.
So what does the stop button do at that point? The knob's off. It doesn't do anything.
No. It slows down. One is normal. One is with the on and off switch, and one is with the button.
Oh, you turn it back on.
No.
But no, once it's off,
why would the button do anything?
The button doesn't do anything once it's off.
The button makes it. The button gives it the short pull.
When the turntable's turned off,
yeah, because it's still moving forward. When you turn the turntable, the switch off, yes,
it's full of shit.
When you turn the Technique 1200 off on the switch, it's still
the
moving.
The red light.
Red light
when
goes
you turn
off.
The red light off, it's still the platter is still moving.
The power button still.
Yeah, it's still the platter is still moving.
Right. Yes, we know that.
And then when you press the button,
start stop button,
it's off.
It'll still stop it.
It still stops.
I'm testing this as soon as I get home.
Wow,
that's how I used to do it. I'm a bad. All
right, what other ones?
I have a sad state of affairs at my home.
Oh, the baby getting in the way of the turntable.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, you guys are right.
Oh, thank God.
You guys are right. I went, first one is normal, second one is with the on and off switch, the third one is just with my hand.
You pushed it.
Right, pushed it with my hand. That's how it was.
Okay.
First one, normal, bad. Second one, with on and off switch. The third one, I pushed it for.
What other records do you scratch
bad,
on?
Bad.
Give me the loot and...
I'm ready. Did you... No,
ready
I'm
to die. The actual Ready to Die record.
I'm ready.
Up. I'm ready. Well, you knew that record well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm ready. You know that's from Kane.
That's what I'm saying.
Flick to your switch.
I'm ready.
As I grab the Glock, put it to your head.
Pretty simple scratcher. That. Simple, wonderful, basic. Hold on, what were you? Was that a Gemini? What makes you use them?
Gemini.
With the Transformer? Yeah, yeah. Cheater. You're cheating.
With the switch.
Yeah, with the switch. You're cheating, man. Or did you ever get good at transforming without the switch?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Nah.
Scythe, you never transform well without the switch.
Yeah, I never use the switch.
You only transform with actual fader. You better scratcher than C there, Scythe?
Huh?
You better scratcher than C?
No.
Really? C, you consider yourself a great scratcher?
No.
No, but I'm going to tell you what C got. C got the rhythm.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
C got the rhythm of a scratch. I can't
see, think of it. I'm going to show you my worst attempt of trying to transform without the switch. This is Wrath of Kane.
I love these scratches.
Yeah, but the transform is not as sharp. And I did this on the floor, on Marley Marl's house on this floor. But I never really liked the way I did the transform on this.
What other records, are there other, besides Kane and Big, do you do any of the scratches on records?
Besides Kane and Big. Oh, yeah. Hold up, I'll give it to you. No,
I'm not counting Shake That Ass, girl.
No.
Did somebody call you about that? Shake That Ass recently? Somebody asked me about it.
No.
But they wanted it for something? They wanted to clear it or something?
Hold up. Okay. I did scratches on this, if y'all remember
here
this.
Here it comes.
Yeah, here it comes.
Master Ace?
Yeah, here it comes.
Big shot here in the comes.
The bomb rush. Strike up the fan and hit the clan up like a Gaza. Here it comes. Yeah, here it comes. Yeah, here it comes. The bomb rush.
Hey, G Money. What do you call her again? So no one knows her name. G Code. Oh, hey, you're there. Would you mind getting the our bevel photographer friend from the outside door? So, I think like right there. I think. That you're involved in all these sessions. Mm-hmm. How quickly do you know that Ready to Die is going to be as good as expected?
When every time Big was in a car, somebody would steal his tape, and then he would come back and try to get it.
Who the fuck are you letting in your car?
And, you know, all his homies would steal the tape. That's when I knew it was going to be something, because every time he would come to the studio, I need another copy of the album, man. Somebody stole it out the car, whatever the case. That's when I kind of figured this was going
to
be.
Was this the original bootleg of the album that we just recently got to, a lot of us just got to hear for the first time?
Yeah, the original, you know, bootleg of the album where, you know, some of the original samples couldn't get cleared and so on and so forth.
Thank God, because it came out better.
Yeah. But... a true story that I tell to a lot of people about Ready to Die, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but do you know half of Ready to Die was recorded when Biggie was still an artist with Uptown MCA?
Yeah, I knew that.
And the other half of the album was recorded when he was with Bad Boy. After Puffy left. So when Puffy left, so you got records like, you got a record like.
My man Imp left a tech and a nine at my crib.
Now you see how his voice sounds? You see how his voice is a little bit younger, but then when you listen to a record like.
To all the ladies in the place.
Oh, yeah,
voice
got
is
that
a little
deeper.
Bit deeper. Allow me to lace these lyrical dishes.
Nah, even, One More Chance original version. He's young, big, yelling. Yeah. He's young, yelling.
Right. So
Yelly Big.
The Ready to Die album was recorded in like a year and a half's time because when Puffy left Uptown, it's rumored. I mean, he definitely did it, but it's rumored that he brought the masters, the first half of the masters of Ready to Die from Andre Herro. It's rumored that he brought it for $1 million. Mm. So half of the album was done. So you had Everyday Struggle, Friend of Mine, Give Me the Loot. Those records was done through Uptown. And then when Puff got the deal with Arista, with Bad Boy, he recorded Big Papa, Who Shot Ya, Juicy, Unbelievable. But he brought the first half masters for like $1 million from Andre. That's the rumor.
Do you have the original bootleg of Who Shot Ya?
Yes, sir.
My friend Joe.
Wait, Who Shot Ya?
The nastiest
wasn't
bootleg.
Wasn't that Keith Murray record?
Right, well, originally Keith Murray was on it with Mary.
Right. Well, right. No, but it's on the Mary album in the background.
Right.
Oh, really? That version is?
Yeah.
You never heard that? When Mary's on the phone and it's playing in the background?
I don't remember
Keith
that.
Keith Murray over Who Shot Ya Beat?
Oh, my God.
But this is the original.
Let me see if this is the one I remember my boy Judd having on bootleg.
Yeah.
Who yep. shot ya? Separate the weak from the oxen. Bleed hard to creep in Brooklyn. Wait, pause that scene. It's on, nigga. Judd had this on bootleg from whatchamacallit. The spot in Brooklyn. The record store in Brooklyn.
Music? B Street?
Yeah, B Street. Judd ordered the bootleg. This shit sounded nasty. And then I didn't know it was ever going to eventually come out. And then it did, and it was major. Who Shot Ya's up there, guys? It's up there among the best Biggie records of all time.
Yes, definitely.
It's in the conversation. See, how many Biggie records do you have?
I got a lot of records, man.
Would you ever let me have all of the... Well, no, let me hear me out. Would you ever let me have all of the ones that you've at least played, like, more than once?
Probably not. Probably not.
I wouldn't share. I put them in a special seat.
Notorious Biggie Smalls in full effect. Got my DJ 50 grand in the house, you understand? I'm gonna drive a nice long rhyme on this funky track. You know how we get there, yo. Shake your head and say damn. When the horns from Big Man explode like an ass can. While DJ 50 grand kick beats like Van Damme. That fighting ass nigga introducing a supreme bigger nigga.
That's one of the first records we recorded. This was actually...
Did you play that one?
Yeah. I just started playing it a couple of years ago. This was actually supposed to be for my album because I was trying to do an album like Terminator X at that time, mid-90s, and Pete Rock. You know, I was trying to do an album, and that was supposed to be.
What's that record called?
This one right here?
Yeah.
Biggie Got the Hype Shit.
Oh, Jesus. Well,
I was in a mall in Florida.
Where is this going to go?
And I had a choice to buy...
Yeah, this is where it's going to go.
Main Source album... Or Terminator X album.
Oh my, you bought Valley of the Jeep Beats?
No, I bought Main Source, thank God.
Oh.
But I like the single from the Terminator. What was the first single?
I forget, but my brother bought the album, that's for sure.
Oh God.
Not, we are at war!
Come on!
This is the first single. Buck Wild.
Is there a next single?
Then you had Homie Don't Play That.
Yeah!
This was the second single. Buck Wilder was the first
single. It had to be the first one. Thank God. I dodged a bullet.
They're both better than It All Comes Down to Money, which was off the next album.
Yeah.
Not to ask the generic...
You notice how I can pull these songs up from my Bible instantly, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Why, are you dissing me because how slow I am?
No, part one, you was pretty slow with the songs. I had to bring my laptop for part two.
My computer's a mess. I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, hey, by the way, see? Update to everyone listening. C's music is better organized than mine, okay? In case anyone was wondering, C is one of the most notoriously organized DJs in the history... of hip-hop. Is everything in your house chronological still?
Yes, everything. All my vinyl in my house is...
I hate... I fucking hate your system.
Why? What, you don't think it's a genius?
My system?
Yeah, chronological.
Why?
Yeah, all my records is by year. Yes.
It makes sense though, but
it's amazing. Hold on,
but so you have to know all the years. How the fuck do you know when? When did the?
No, don't play this game.
When did like the fucking? What was that Organized Confusion record that was so
Press?
Dope? No, the weird 12 inch. It was like a. It wasn't on an album. It might have been a remix.
Stress remix?
No, it wasn't on an album.
What?
It was another song on Priority.
Somehow, some way, we keep coming up with
that
funky
one?
Ass shit like every single day. This is not an album though.
Somehow, some way, we be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day.
Another.
But,
we'll
see.
All the things, my Who stole my last piece of chicken?
No,
stole,
that.
That's on that.
That's not on Priority though. But that's.
Anyway, see your laptop, man. We gotta talk about it. By the way, is all your shit waves on your computer?
Huh?
Is all your shit waves?
Nah, MP3s.
I thought you used to do waves.
No, never.
Oh, you did?
No.
I thought you were like you like to have wave.
No,
copies.
No.
What 320 MP3s?
It doesn't matter because
you'll do 192.
I'll do a 92.
Okay.
It doesn't matter because you know with the auto gain on the Serato you can
and just, well on the radio and when you're playing on radio the compression makes it. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you? Thank me for helping you get on Serato, please.
Oh, yeah. That is a good point. See, you used to be a fucking dinosaur.
You got me on Serato?
I said I helped.
What, was he bringing in books of CDs?
Yeah.
I still got my CD book. How many of you guys still got your CD book?
See, and his first...
I'm going to put it up for TV.
The first testament of the Bible, because C would only take the verse he would play and put it on a CD.
Yes.
So if he only played like the third verse of something, like it had like a good part to it.
Yes.
So his first version of the Bible, the Old Testament, just would have songs with just one part of it.
Yes.
And then he had to go in and put all the other shit in.
I still got a couple of those in here that I got to, you know, still get the original version to.
Isn't it weird sometimes a random record that you don't have in your computer? Like, it'll be like a...
It's the worst.
And like, you're like, oh, I know I got that. And you're looking up and you're like...
No.
You'll have like every remix to One Love, but not the original version or some weird shit.
Do you have the LG remix of One Love?
No.
Didn't make it. Did the Q-Tip mix... Q-Tip's the original.
Of course.
Did the other one make it, though? The 1L? The one with Sadat X make it?
No.
Didn't make the cut?
Mm-mm.
Is it, you have it in a hard drive somewhere.
You know, I'm very protective of not wasting gigs on my laptop.
Me too.
Very protective.
Yeah, but you just busted out a whole bunch of... how many organized records?
Yeah, but those are the big organized records.
I mean
they have that many, but those are the...
Well, how many songs you got in there?
19,000 and some change.
That's not that bad. You could have...
See, I just had to...
How low are you now, Sai?
I think like 13,000. It was getting out of control.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
doubles,
like,
I don't, instrumentals.
I don't waste.
See, how much money would someone have to pay you for you to give them? Turn this shit off right now.
Don't turn off that number one rap record in the country.
Sai, Milwaukee's finest.
Yo, that's the difference. That right there is the fucking difference of you never know what can happen, yo.
Why?
Because that record.
Which Sai Feinhard?
Number one record in the country, rap charts, not top Billboard, but on its way up, growing, album coming out, and the dude disappears.
What do you mean? He literally did?
Like, on drugs, disappears. Like, just wouldn't show up to shit. And what's the difference between that record going number one and another record going number one and someone showing up to do the promo? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can... All my fucking problems in this world have been because of artists... being late or not showing up, and that's why I gave up on that shit, man.
Wow.
Who knows who could have been the... I'm not saying Cuckoo Cow was the next Biggie, but I'm just saying.
Right.
He's no different than what ODB or a Biz, like, you know, like weird, like left field rappers, well, not like straight lyricists.
I said to we interviewed Raekwon today, his new album's out. It's pretty dope. And I was like, yo, Ray, it just dawned on me. Dirty's not on your album. I was like, Dirty isn't on Cuban Links for 1 second.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone else is. Not one ad lib from ODB.
Why?
And I was like, what was that? And he was like, he was out chasing checks. That he was killing it right then.
Mm. Remember this, Sai? Dun, dun, dun. You don't remember this?
I do, but I can't.
From Flex's album, Raekwon, Funkmaster Flex, from Flex's 60 Minutes.
The Cream Team.
Horrible.
I like this song.
I was in the video, killing it. Me, Scratch, and Flex doing a routine.
You guys went back and forth on the turntable?
Like, yeah, we would spin around.
You were doing one of those? Would,
yeah, it was awesome. In a very oversized jersey.
You have to be, but this conversation about how artists can kind of let you down, which we've all experienced in this business. See, you had to be particularly kind of thankful for how much Biggie continued to keep you around. Like, not forget. It seems like Biggie didn't forget.
But not even that. When did Big piss you off? When did Big forget about you?
Never.
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 He always reached out, always never kept you in the loop.
Always reached out. Never. Never. I mean, there was times, you know, I would be on the air at High 97 in the early, you know, that early mid-90s or whatever, that big 94, 95, 96. Big would just hit me on the Sky Pager or whatever type of phone we had. Yo, I'm downstairs. Big always called me LeBro because my last name is LeBron. So he would be like, LeBro, LeBro, I'm downstairs. LeBro, come upstairs and come get me and bring me up. And he would just come and hang out with me at the station. Big was Biggie at that time. He could have been anywhere, you know? There's been times at that run between 94 and 97 where Big would be like, yo, you doing a party tonight? Where you doing a party? Matter of fact, I'll never forget. I did a party in Jersey. I forget what part. And Big was like, yo, I want to come with you. It was a Sunday night. We went to Skin Deep. If y'all remember the R&B group Skin Deep, they was performing. Big was like, I want to come hang out with you. When we got to this is Skin Deep, people, if y'all remember this song. They was performing. Me, Big, we walked in, the whole crowd shifted from watching Skin Deep performance to
watching Big.
Just watching Big being in the building with me. And then after that, we left the club. Big was like, let's go to the tunnel. Flex is at the tunnel, let's go to the tunnel. And I acted like I was following him and I went home. Flex and Biggie went to the tunnel to hang out with Flex.
What was the Biggie had a fight with Nas in the tunnel?
Who, Big?
Yeah.
That I don't know.
I
don't know. I don't know, man.
Wait, Syfe.
He's a lying, this fucking guy.
I don't know.
Syfe, did Biggie and Flex have something?
Nah, I don't. Not nothing major. I just.
Wasn't it like weird though? Didn't they like.
I know it was always weird with Flex and Puff. Always weird.
It's just a back and forth kind of thing.
Always crazy best friends on air and off air. Always. Same with Jay.
Yeah, Jay, to this day, it seems like that.
Same with Hove.
Did you spend any time with Pac and Big in the same room?
No.
Never?
No.
Who's this Stretch guy?
Stretch from Live Squad. You remember Live Squad from Queens?
I've heard of him, but why is he such a big figure in this big Pac?
Well, Stretch and Pac was cool, and then when Pac and Big was cool, then Stretch used to be around at the same time. So, you know, that's kind of where the combination comes from. But, you know, Big was more cool with Pac than Stretch, but Big did know Stretch, of course.
Why does his name always come up? Is that how they met?
I think, you know, he might, I don't know the exact, I mean, Big and Pac met just off of, you know, them doing shows and stuff like that. But because Pac was fucking with Stretch, and then that's how Big got to know Stretch. But, you know, Stretch was, you know,
was heavy. Was he in the streets?
I don't know. I don't want to, you know, give somebody something and don't really know. But, you know, Live Squad, the whole Live Squad movement was heavy in Queens.
It was.
It was.
They never had like a big record, though.
They had two songs, Murderer and Heartless. They was on Tommy Boy Records. I don't have neither one of those in my laptop. But they were street records. They was big street records.
Hey, C, do you not to go too deep there, but where how did you find out that Big was gone?
I was at home. It was in the middle of the night, and one of the first person that hit me was Fred Bugs, Bugsy.
Oh.
Called me at home, and he said, yo, man, you know, I'm hearing something happen to Big out on the West Coast or whatever. And, you know, he actually said he heard that Big passed away. And I was like, I don't believe that or whatever. And got off the phone with Bugsy, and then I tried to go to sleep. And I just kept tossing and turning in my bed. And then through the darkness of my bedroom, opposite of my bed, my Biggie plaque was up. The Juicy Biggie plaque was like opposite of the wall of my bed, and I can see Big through the darkness from the, you know, the picture on the plaque. And that just kind of made me, that made it a little scary for me, you know? And then, I don't know why, but something just told me to go to the station, and I went to Hot 97. And then when I went to the station, that's when reality set in, because then I saw Lisa Evers, and I saw Angie, and they was bawling out crying, and then that's when it really hit me.
What did you do anything at the funeral?
No, I didn't do anything at the funeral. Of course, I did go there and pay my respects, but the thing for me was just to be back around the way at home and to be there when the procession came through Fulton Street and St. James.
It was insane.
Yeah, it was.
The way that looked was crazy.
And I mean, just to, you know, on March 9th when it happened, that was the one day besides 9/11 that I ever saw Brooklyn that quiet. And I mean, just from riding through, going, getting ready to go to the station and just taking a cab to the station. I mean, it was just silence in Brooklyn that day, that morning.
Tough question for you.
Sure.
A lot of speculation about if Biggie lived, right? Hip hop's completely different if Biggie lives.
Oh, Chris Rock said something at the cellar the other night.
What? About the same thing?
I don't know what you guys mean. He's like, Biggie was the greatest, but that was so many years ago. He would have been like a Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah, that's right. No, he says you never know. He might. It was in the movie.
Oh, he did.
I think it was in the movie.
At the cellar.
Oh, he did.
He's like fucking dying.
He's like, oh no, the line that he said in the movie. He used the same line in his movie, Top 5. He goes, yo, Tupac was great, but if he was still alive, he would have been the abusive boyfriend in a Tyler Perry movie. Do you think, honestly, that Big would have ever gotten to the level of success that Jay got to?
Corporate success? No, I don't think so.
Can't even.
Because Big, the only way Big probably would have got corporate success as much as Hov got, somebody would have had to push him along to get that.
It wasn't what he was naturally like.
It wasn't what he was naturally like. And even, you know, Hov had to adapt to that. After he left Dame and Biggs, you know, after the Rockefeller thing split up, Hov grew into becoming more corporate successful. Something like that would have had to happen to Big for him to become that. And knowing the direction that we now knew that Puff went in, I don't know if Big would have had the same corporate success as Hov. I don't know. But then again, because of the commission and Jay and Hov was going to do the album, they probably would have been doing a lot of things together. I can see them.
So they could have grown together,
right? I could see them. I could see them doing a lot of things.
That was the craziest thing that Jay told us on One Epstein. That's one of the many gems.
Yeah, I did a whole one, MC?
Yeah.
I got to listen to that.
It's like 90 minutes.
You crazy. 90
I got. How long ago was that?
When he dropped that book, the Decoded book.
Oh, I got to pull that up.
It was the best because there was no label people in the way because it was for his book.
Right.
So it was just him as publicist and someone from the book company.
Oh, I got to pull that up.
It's the best Hov interview ever.
No, I really do. I think it's ever.
When I get back home.
If nothing else, it'll be on YouTube. It's out there. He said that he talked to Biggie every day. I was like, how often you talk to Biggie? He was like, every single day. At the end, it wasn't always like that. But for the last year, him and Big actually became close, real friends.
Right.
So you never know where we're gone. Hey, C, this has been a treat.
Thank you, fellas. Thanks for having me.
How much would someone have to pay you for you to give them all of the music you have on a hard drive?
I mean,
everything. Someone comes with a checkbook and goes, how much, C? I want all your music. Put it all in a hard drive.
Oh, if somebody want to give me a check?
Just a check. They want all your music. Well, cash too. See, whatever works for you.
I'll be cheap with it. $150,000.
You get to keep the music also. You get to keep the music. You know that. You don't have to give them a lot.
$150,000.
To have the whole thing. That includes the biggest
stuff. I built this myself, man. This is not no assistance. I built this myself.
Hold on. Everything in here.
A couple of things I need to put in there when I get home.
By the way.
Live squad. I got to put that Ease Up Third Eye that you mentioned. I got to put that in there.
Hold on, by the way. Nothing here is from other people's collections. This is all yours?
No, I don't
This is not. This is all ripped from your vinyl and CD?
Well, no, you've taken other people's music. Some people have given you songs.
Yeah, people have given me songs, but I'm saying I built this my own. Like, you know, I'm not taking your laptop and then or your you know,
your section.
I get a couple of songs from certain people. Okay, like Camilo helps me a lot with Spanish music. I'll get some songs from him.
Yeah, that's a DJ or whatever thing.
But just for me to do my own homework, Camilo will be like, yo, this song is hot. This, let me find it first. If I don't find it, then I'll send it to you. Because I like to do homework. I like to
what? Can I see? Can you turn your laptop? Can I see it? Can I look at it?
Absolutely.
You don't even, yeah,
I never look at it. I know he hesitated. I've seen the cat. You do everything all caps, by the way, which is so does Cypher Sounds.
I used to. I haven't been on my shit lately.
Oh, really?
Yo, leaving radio? My shit is a messy.
Hip-hop case. What does hip-hop long case mean?
Because this is, I have everything categorized from how my vinyl was. When I had, you know, doing parties.
Oh, my God, from the cases.
Well, your old crates.
When I did parties with the cases.
Right, but there's nothing, but anything after vinyl, you have in a separate playlist. But that's a certain playlist called the long case.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, like I have playlists that were my crates.
Right, 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 right.
This is gorgeous. I'm not going to lie to you, it's gorgeous. Let's go ahead. Just how organized it is.
Yes.
Let's say there's a young lady who wants to become a DJ.
Uh-huh.
And I want to teach her the right ways to become a DJ. Mm-hmm. Not this fly-by-night, cute girl fad going on nowadays. Mm-hmm. Top three rules you need to know or pieces of advice. It doesn't have to be for a girl,
number
just for
one,
any DJ.
Number one, be original. Don't try to sound like somebody else. Don't try to... have your set sounding like somebody else's set. Whatever you can think of in your mind that is a part of your creation, do it. Even if you don't think it sound good, just try it and do it. That's number one. Just be original. That's A number one. You got to do history on the music that you're playing. Just because you have a bunch of reggaeton songs or a bunch of African songs or a bunch of Haitian songs, have some knowledge of the artist that you're playing. Just a little bit of knowledge, just something. Mm-hmm. That's number two. And number three, just be organized. Organization is everything, man. Like
that's why I suck.
For me, you got to be organized. I've seen so many DJs and looked at so many DJs' laptops, and I've played on a lot of DJs' laptops, and I'm like, yo, let me pull up Who Shot You by Biggie, and they'll have it in their laptop five different ways.
Oh,
like,
mine's.
Only one way to have the fucking record. Like, you don't have to have it five different ways.
By the way, I tell you, that's one of the reasons I've really enjoyed just 45s, because I just organized my bag, because my laptop's a loss. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get it right. Every time I start over again, I just cannot get rid of the extra shit properly.
Nah, you gotta do
it. Some of the greatest DJs are not organized with their laptop.
Nah.
I mean, and I don't even understand.
I wonder what Kid Capri's laptop's like.
I don't even understand how they find shit, you know?
I mean,
I've seen DJs that will pull up, like, we'll go back to Who Shot You, and they're trying to play it, but it keeps turning pink. It keeps turning pink in the Serato.
Oh, dude.
They can't fucking play it because it's not a fucking file.
So they have to keep going until they find the file.
And they got
to
keep going until they find the file.
What do you call your Biggie records? Well, who's the artist?
Biggie.
Biggie. Not Notorious.
No.
Why does it say LPs? Why is that under LPs?
Because I got everything. Where it says Biggie LPs, I mean, all his music is in here. From all his albums, from everything.
But you have mad shit there that's not from his albums.
Yeah, but, you know, but I just called it Biggie LPs, Jay-Z LPs, Biggie. Even though it's freestyle, it's just...
But why is it called LPs then? You have non-LP
because
songs.
Because it's albums plus. So I don't want to put, you know...
I just love how everyone has their own shit. Six Big Pun LPs, but that's really all Big Pun.
That's all Big Pun.
By the way, that's the one.
So the only rappers I
clean
keep...
Clean and Dirty?
Clean and Dirty. The only rappers I keep separate in my laptop is Tupac, Biggie, Jay-Z, Nas, Big Pun.
Mm. By the way, the only thing I could add to your collection that would actually probably help you is... Not only. I have some random shit you probably want, but Big Pun. My Big Pun on my laptop is pretty stupid.
That's not going to convince me to give you any Biggie shit, but if you want to send it my way, you can.
All right, I'll give it to you anyway because you're Mr. C. Hey, Mr. C, thank you, bro.
Thank you, fellas.
You are a legend and a scholar. Syph, anything to say before we leave?
Here's some of my crates. Dom Vibes. Mr. C. New Party 1, New Party 2, Afro Beats. Best Worst. College.
What's
shit.
The best word? Oh, the best bad music, yeah.
And from the radio.
Yeah.
Deep House, Jersey, Major Lazer.
What an honor that Dom has a category called Dom Vibes.
I have a crate classics. I have a crate called The Wallop.
Well, that's just Mr. C shit.
Down.
That's just when I'm ready to fucking
destruction.
Yeah, that's destruction.
I got to the left. Trap World. Trapola. Right.
Start fading him down.
Underground Kinda.
Fade Sife down. You just need to keep reading.
Underground Kinda is when I'm doing a party with Rosenberg.
All right, guys. We'll catch you next week. Thank you, everyone.